Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Happy Tuesday. Good to be with you. Last hour, you heard from County Executive Mark Poloncarz and Dr. Gail Burstein stressing their mandates, in my opinion, setting the stage for a vaccine mandate, but not getting there just yet. As you know, we have businesses that are pushing back. We have lawsuits that are getting brought up. And to break all that down, we have attorney Corey Hogan with us of Hogan Willig. Corey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good to talk to you.
Good to speak with you. So to set the stage, where do we stand now? You know, over the weekend, we saw a lot of these signs that say we are not against masks. We are not against vaccines. We will not discriminate. It is your right to choose. We saw these on a few restaurants around Western New York. Where do we stand now on this lawsuit against the mask mandate?
We're presently accumulating the plaintiffs because the court cases there seem pretty clear, at least in our circuit, that if you're not named, then whatever relief you're given by the court doesn't apply across the board. So we've got about 100 plaintiffs, probably a little bit more than that now, because we've been dealing with it over the last 3 days. We want to make sure that everybody that wants to join in has an opportunity to do so. We've drafted the pleadings. We're probably 90% through those. We're getting up a couple of expert affidavits, and we're, in all likelihood, should be filing before the week is out, depending upon how many people we're hearing from. I did listen, as you mentioned, to the press conference by Mark Poloncarz and Gail Bernstein, and one of the things that struck me is this whole idea of this claim that we're in this emergency situation, and just how much of it is self-induced. Normally, Erie County has about 3,000 beds available. They're probably down to about 2,000. Much of that is, of course, is a result of the vaccine mandate and the loss of 10 to 15% of the healthcare workers in our area because of their refusal to get vaccinated. So that's unnecessary. One of the examples that Mark Poloncarz used, he talked about 552 beds at ECMC, and they're at full capacity. Well, the list I have from Erie County indicates that the Erie County Medical Center has at least 648 beds available. So there's 100 beds gone. Probably because of staffing issues. Now that's what they couch their language in, staffed beds. There's way more beds than we need. The issue is we don't have the right staff, and that's a Governor Hochul mistake by imposing that vaccine mandate. And these nurses that were saving lives for all these last couple of years are now out on the street, so to speak, and it's kind of a shame that what they've done is self-induced. The other thing I noticed that they keep talking about is face masks work. The reality of it is that they don't. If you look at most people, they have a mask on, there's going to be gaps on the side and up near their eyes, and glasses are steaming up. And even the mask itself, once they have an N95, and I'll mention a little bit about that, but these masks are at most 10% effective. The size of the COVID-19 virus is about 1/500 the size of the distance between the threads, even on a surgical mask. So that you can go right through it. If it doesn't, if it gets caught in the mask as well as all other kinds of things that these masks catch, unless they're washed every day, the they present more harm than benefit. So this idea that everybody should be running around with a mask on, that that's going to provide a benefit, is simply not the case. I know the governor doesn't want to hear the governor, but the county executive or the governor. In Florida, there's been a total of 25 deaths over the last 7 days. They've got 2.5% of their beds being used for COVID. And I'm not suggesting we all move to Florida, but the fact is that they have a population larger than ours, and they have about one-third the cases now. And this is the state that everybody was railing on, saying that they're allowing people to live somewhat of a normal life. The other reality of it is that when he talked about the numbers of people that are vaccinated here, and he referred to the populations, 55 to 64 at 84%, and the 65 to 74 at 99%, and the 75 and older at 89%. That's where all the deaths are in Erie County, all of them, other than three. In the county, they don't give us information all that easily. But the deaths that they have through November 18th in Erie County, they had 35. There was three under the age of 60. The rest of the deaths are all age 60 and above. All the people that are supposedly complying with the vaccine mandates, running around getting boosters, these are the people that are dying. It's not their fault that they're dying. And these are, but the reality of it is these people are older and they have these comorbidities. I fit into that category myself. But the idea that we're going to be punishing others or restricting others because of a vulnerable population has to be a decision that the citizens should make. And I think that's what our restaurants are trying to do. They say, let individuals decide for themselves. If people don't want to come to a restaurant or a gym or a hair salon or a bowling alley, then fine, you don't need to come. And if you want to wear a mask, please wear a mask. If you want to get vaccinated, please get vaccinated. Gail Bernstein's running around saying everybody should get all the booster shots they can get. That is, in my mind, the morally and ethically wrong thing to be telling people. If there's nothing wrong at this point if people want to get a booster, but it's not like this is good things for you. It provides a benefit, but there are downsides. But it doesn't mean that, so if you want to get a booster, that's fine. But you don't want to go out and get 10 boosters like it's a vitamin you're injecting into your system. And that's not what's going on. So there's a lot of misinformation. The number one piece of information, misinformation, is that the clients we represent are the source of transmission. The Bernstein Poincaré show, they have no proof, no studies supporting what they're saying. The last bit of information we got from the state was last year. And that showed at that time, as Gail somewhat suggested, that 75%, 73.84% of the transmission takes place in the house, because homes are not as well ventilated as restaurants, hair salons, bowling alleys, gyms, and that's where the transmission takes place. There's another 20 different entities out there that they list, construction, elementary schools, high schools, that comprise the other 25%. They're all under 2%, except for healthcare delivery. So the transmission takes place in the home and in healthcare delivery. Nothing else is going on out there where it's of any significance. It's always less than 2% or 1%. For example, hair salons that they're going after is a 0.14%, not even a half percent. So why are you picking on these people? Because it's an easy solution and they have a need to pretend that they can do something. The reality of it is they can't. That this virus is going to go through the community eventually. You try to protect people. Vaccines, in theory, prevent the symptomology from being as severe as it can be, so there's no reason for people who feel uncomfortable not to get a vaccine. We're not suggesting that. But the people that are running these businesses are not at fault. They're made to look at like these are the people where all this stuff is going on. They talk about people getting together in bars and all this kind of stuff. It's not happening there, and there's no data to support it, and they won't give it to us. We had a lawsuit we started. The judge said, no, you got to go through the administrative remedies. That was almost a year ago. Since then, we've been asking the Department of Health, the county, to give us information, and the last bit of information, in September we heard, it said that they're going to give it to us by November 22nd. Then on November 22nd, they wrote, now they say they want until January 26th of next year, and they have it. Paul Karras was talking about the fact that they had contact tracing data. So was Gail Bernstein. They have it. Why won't they share it with the citizens of Erie County? Why not tell us, honestly, where the transmission is taking place? Why is that kept secret? There's no good reason other than they don't want people to know. And that's not what the government should be doing, not in a democracy. So it's really a mess we have out there, and these clients are doing what they can to do to assert their rights and to say, you know, it's what's going on here is not right. If you could show that the masks work, if you could show that we're the source of transmission, then it makes sense. But they can't show either one because neither one is true, and that's what's so sad about it.
Well, also, we'd have to be expecting their contact tracers to call people in a timely fashion, and from what I'm hearing, that's also not happening. Corey, let me ask you, you talk about masks not working, the size of COVID-19 and everything. Do you also look at last year's data when there was a mask mandate, when there was 50% capacity, and we're still seeing the surge, but a year ago here in Erie County, a lot of those businesses weren't even open. So how can one thing be true that they're playing into it this year, but last year we had the same spike and a lot of those businesses were not open for indoor business?
Not until they eventually got a judge to allow them to be open. And once they were open, then the percentage went down. It's because actually, Joe, it's ridiculous, but it's true. You are safer having lunch and dinner or breakfast in a restaurant than you are at your kitchen table. Because they have wonderful ventilation usually. They have all kinds of sanitation preventive measures that they use. And so you can't get a safer place to have a meal. They want us to do nothing other than, I think, hover around our home. And that is the worst place to be. So they wonder why the numbers are going up. Well, that's because the vaccine, for example, by the way, doesn't work in terms of preventing infection. It was never approved to prevent infection or to prevent transmission. And in the order, they acknowledge that, but then at the end of it, they say, well, if you have a vaccine-only policy, a vaccination-only policy, you don't need to wear masks. Why would they say that when they know that the people that are vaccinated are spreading it? If they believe face masks work. Now, the masks don't really work, and the vaccinated people, yeah, do spread it, but you're not going to get it in those places anyway. So I guess you could say no harm, no foul, other than you're persecuting and going after entities, businesses that are trying to pay their bills and run a business and provide a service to people in Erie County, and they're putting requirements on them and threatening them with others. Right now, as I understand what they've done here, is that we think that they can impose fines of up to $10,000 for a violation and perhaps 1 year in jail. Although the county executive didn't mention that, the jail piece or the $10,000, and he said they're giving people warnings, and that's decent of them to do that. But you have people that are at their wits' end trying to have people come to work each day and give them a paycheck and try to provide a service that is not the source of the problem. If it was, God bless them, then we will do whatever you want us to do within reason. But show us the proof. Show us that either we are the source of transmission. Give me a legitimate study that shows that these kind of face masks work. There's none out there of any legitimacy. Even if the CDC says it, show me a study. You just can't say something without proof. We have looked at hundreds of studies. We have a PhD epidemiologist that's going through the literature and has been for months for us. And I can't, unfortunately, simplify it enough so that perhaps I can get a court to listen, because it's not just Erie County. It's all over the world. You know, shutdowns, masks, vaccines.
You know, you look at the data from the county, and as you said, they're very tight on what they actually let to the public. Have you requested, and maybe this is for the next phase, but have you tried to get a hold of case numbers separated by vaccinated and unvaccinated?
We have those requests out there through FOIL. And what we are trying to get at least is the transmission data so that we can find out where the transmission is taking place. As far as, you know, yeah, they're not following through. They're not discriminating. When they say, when Mark Poloncarr said that the vaccinated have much lower transmission than the non-vaccinated, I don't know what he's talking about. There's no study or that I've seen. It's so easy for these guys to get up on these podiums and make these statements, and no one can challenge them because it's complicated stuff, and the news media, et cetera, they haven't read the studies. They don't get into the minutia. They haven't gotten into the minutia anywhere in the world. Because if you look at the studies, and that's what we're going to do, we're going to bring all of that out. We're going to put it on our website. We're going to just tell the truth. Here is the reality here in terms of what's really going on. And the same with this this Omicron variant that they're almost threatening us with. I looked at a Reuters report yesterday, which is legit, and one of the South African doctors who actually reported it and said, "Oh, this looks a little bit different," comparing it to the Delta. What he has said up to this point, as of this is November 28th, is that the patients that he has seen, they haven't reported loss of smell or taste. There's been no major drops in oxygen levels with the new variant. And he said that it is much milder so far. He says very, very mild symptoms, and none of them have been had to be admitted to a hospital facility. Doesn't mean that will be the truth in the long run, but it means that that's the available information right now. It's not a killer, and typically the way viruses mutate is that they become more transmissible because the more transmissible ones are the ones that are caught by people. It has to be that way. And typically they are less serious in terms of significant health impact because it's not in the virus's best interest to kill people, because if you kill people, the virus dies. And so by natural selection, that's what happens. Doesn't mean it could be different. Doesn't mean we don't want to pay attention to this, or we couldn't get one that's more dangerous and more virulent. But that's the general tendency. People are led to believe that you better do all this stuff or we're going to end up with, Ebola or something like that. Doesn't mean that you can't be wary and you shouldn't have good medical and sanitation practices everywhere. It makes sense to do that. There's no sense in any person dying if we can avoid it. But the issue is, what is the cost? What are you doing to people's lives? The damage to the kids, though, that keeping them out of school for a year is horrendous. But that's a story for another time. But people are just covering, under the rug, throwing money at it. That's what the federal government is. Here's money for those kids that got screwed out of school for a year. Well, you know what? That isn't going to do it.
Corey, do you have time to hang on for a few more questions after the news?
I'd love to, Joe.
Sure. All right, awesome. Corey Hogan of Hogan Willig will be joining us for another segment. Obviously want to know if his clients have gotten any literature from the county, and also what are the plans if we take that next step to phase two or even phase three here in Erie County. So much more with Corey Hogan and you. You are listening to me, Joe Beamer, in for Tom Bowerly on WBEN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ooh, I like that. Very nice, very nice. Welcome back. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I just read, you know, I always look for stuff maybe as a different topic later in the show. I just read something in the New York Post that we will get to later in the show. And I hope I can get some calls on it. But first, we continue our discussion with Corey Hogan of Hogan Willig. Corey, thank you so much for hanging on.
Happy to do so, Joe. Happy to do so. I think it's important to get the information out to the public.
Now, you know, over the last 2 days, social media, I've seen a lot of people posting a picture of a warning they got from the county executive. Has this been consistent with your clients that have put these notices up? Are they getting any kind of communication from the county?
A couple of our clients have gotten letters from the Department of Health, and I know some people stopped into one or two of clients, but there's so much stuff going on in terms of tracking cases all over the state and the county and the world and lining up people that I don't know all the particulars. I just know that we've got about 110 clients, and probably I would say about five or six have reported back to us that they've heard from the Department of Health.
And looking, and just to reiterate something you said earlier, it when you take this to court, this would be kind of like what we saw last year, just for those that have signed on to the lawsuit that would be able to get rid of any kind of mandate, correct?
Yeah, there was just a Second Circuit Court of Appeals case, which is covers our area. It's a federal court that's right below the Supreme Court, and there was a case down in New York City area. And they tried to have it apply not only to the individuals in the lawsuit, but as well as to those that are similarly situated. And the court shot it down and said, yeah, you can't do that. That's kind of like trying to do an end around a class action. So the only people that get that benefit of a ruling would be those people that are part of the proceeding. That's why we need to make sure we got everybody on this action that we bring, as well as we've got a couple of cases that we'll bring in a federal court. One having to do with the vaccine mandate, not one, but a number of them, and the other having to do with the vaccine case. It's going to also go to federal court on constitutional grounds, which is different than the ones that we have in Albany going on, having to do with state emergency powers. So there's a lot of stuff going on. It's the landscape changes every day, and we're trying to stay up with it and try to bring to judges as much information as we can. One of the disturbing cases I read was in Albany the other day, and basically, the judge seemed to indicate that it wasn't our case, but the people that brought the case had brought a lot of information to the court. And the judge had pretty much said, you know what, almost like I'm not even going to bother reading it because all over the state, all over the country, the courts have continued to shoot down anybody that's tried to do anything to bring any kind of control over any of these various governmental mandates that are all pretty much run through the executive department, not through the legislation. These are mostly executive decrees or department departments under the executive branch of government. And that's one of the concerns that we have as lawyers is that these are emergency powers that, that seem to have no limits. As long as people are afraid of dying, the people will go along with anything. And that, I think our group is trying to say, you know what, we need to at some point stand up and be counted, because this is a very, very slippery slope we're on, where you allow the government to kind of tell you what type of medicine you have to put in your arm and things of that nature, what kind of, you have to wear a mask if you go a particular place. And there's no science behind it. That's the problem here, right? Because it's complicated, and you're relying upon the executive department to be honest about it. And I don't see a lot of that honesty, because it's tricky, complicated stuff, and people seem to have agendas. And I know that Mark Poloncarz has talked about trying to avoid the politics of it, but the politics of it are all over the place, unfortunately. It really is unfortunate that that seems to be the way this thing has gone. The Constitution should not be a political thing that certain rights apply to one side of the political spectrum and not to the other. It should apply to everybody, and hopefully there'd normally be general agreement among people. Of course, there's differences of opinion as to how far rights of privacy should go and things of that nature, but it's gotten to a point now where people don't even look at the detail. They just jump on one side or the other because of their political beliefs, and we're losing sight of what's important, which is, you know, are these restrictions appropriate, and are you going after the right source of the problem? And it looks like in this case here, the effort, they're going after the wrong people. There's no proof that they've done anything to increase the transmission. It's to the contrary, actually. And as far as the masks are concerned, they are very minimally effective, perhaps 10%, and there's a lot of drawbacks to them as well. So that's the problem we've got. And to get somebody to listen, it hasn't been easy.
Now, say, you know, this goes through, you get the judgment in your favor. How does this all change when going to phase two? Would this mean a different lawsuit? Would this mean a different complete case? How does your job shift if Erie County goes to phase two?
Yeah, phase two is basically a vaccine requirement, you're saying, unless you can prove vaccination and or maybe booster at some point. You can't get into a certain type of facility. So that would be a different now rule regulation. Again, the Poloncarz order is only good for 5 days and it has to be renewed. I don't think he had renewed it right away. The Bernstein one goes longer than that, but they're basically the same thing. So if that gets tossed in the sense that we can show the court that it's not appropriate with respect to these entities, if they now go into a vaccine one, and I think in all likelihood we'd have to bring another claim, we'd have to bring another case, because that's not in front of the court right now, so no court is going to rule in advance and say, guess what, you can't even do phase two. They're not going to do that unless phase two is implemented. The courts don't look for cases to decide if they don't have to. So we probably in all likelihood, if phase one got tossed with a face mask and they went to phase two, then we'd have to be able to show that this vaccine requirement is not all that effective. And that gets into things that are interesting, like natural immunity, that really does work compared to the vaccine immunity. I don't think most people know, Joe, that this vaccine, whether it's Moderna or whether it's Pfizer or whether it's Johnson & Johnson, was never, never approved by the FDA or the CDC or any government, as far as I know, to prevent infection or to prevent transmission. It's not proof for that. It's only prevented. Only approved to prevent, reduce the symptom reduction. And so it's not surprising that after 3 or 4 months, you're seeing all of these breakthrough infections. They don't tell you that, of course, but it was never supposed to be, it wasn't designed, because they haven't figured out a way to do it yet, presumably, safely, to prevent people from catching it or to prevent people from transmitting it. It's supposed to just prevent the symptoms from being as serious as they would otherwise be, which is a good thing. in and of itself. If somebody wants it for that purpose, it's a good thing. But it's not in the long term. So you're going to end up maybe for the first few months, you get some infection prevention. It doesn't last very long. It's not like natural immunity. There's somewhere around 25 antigens that natural immunity picks up on this COVID virus, and the vaccine only picks up one. So that's another problem, is that they're refusing to acknowledge how important and really the only thing that's going to stop this, or slow it down, is going to be natural immunity. And that will happen. I'm sure that I think most people, even the most conservative people, acknowledge that probably half the population in this country and the state has the natural immunity at this point. Because this is highly transmissible, you need a high percentage, like a measles percentage, like 85% before you're going to be effective. So when people get infected every day, they develop natural immunity. We don't know how long it's going to last because it's only been about a year and a half. But so far, everything that we've seen indicate that there hasn't been any lessening of the natural immunity benefits. They did a couple studies on it, one in Israel, a monster study, hundreds of thousands of people, and one at the Cleveland Clinic. And the one in Israel, they found that people that had natural immunity, one half of 1% got infected during the study period. The Cleveland Clinic, they had about 1,500 or 1,600 employees that were not vaccinated but had previously been infected, and then they studied these 1,600 employees. No one got infected, so it works pretty well. It's way, way, way better than the vaccine. And it's kind of crazy that the government doesn't acknowledge it and we don't do more to figure out, that people with natural immunity are really the ones that are safe. I mean, if you have a healthcare worker that's vaccinated or you have a healthcare worker that has natural immunity, any day of the week you want the one with the natural immunity. You don't want to fire them. You want those people working for you because they're pretty much immune. It's hard to get it once you've had it.
This might. I know this is asking you to speculate, but if we did get to a phase two, would the argument against it be to also allow natural immunity, or would it be like with masks to say there should be no kind of vaccine or natural immunity mandate? Which one do you think would be more likely to get through?
We're developing it now, and we are asking the court. First of all, there shouldn't be a vaccine mandate because this is not smallpox where you have a 30% fatality rate. The fatality rate on this is probably going to eventually end up to be somewhere around the flu, maybe around one half to one fifth of 1%, probably in the long run. So it doesn't justify that kind of a vaccine mandate. And that we're not suggesting that in the right circumstances that the court, that the state, that the society doesn't have the right to force vaccinations on people. If it's killing 30% of the population and you have a vaccine that works, then you know what? That's probably what has to happen. A society has the right to protect itself from people that would otherwise create those kind of problems. But that isn't what we have here with this. We have a virus that's highly transmissible, but that it, for whatever reason, picks on the elderly, people over the age of 55 or 60, it's somewhere in the range of about 90% of all deaths are over the age of 55 or 60. And all of those people that die, the average number of comorbidities, in other words, their health issues, are about 3.8 was the last number I saw. So it's dangerous if you're old and you have other problems. And those people should be protected any way you can protect them. But to then say to society that everything has to be shut down and with all the damages that are going on that way, that are laid to death as well. It's not just economic. And these are also mental problems that are created, in terms of emotional issues when people don't get to go to school or don't go to work and stuff like that. Those are hard to measure, so they're kind of brushed under the rug, and everybody's focusing on, let's not let anybody get COVID. That doesn't work. It's going to go around. Unless somebody comes up with a vaccine, maybe, that prevents infection and actually lasts, like the smallpox vaccine. That one is actually was came from a cow, and the vaca was where the name vaccine got its name from. They used cowpox. But that had been around for hundreds of years before they even tried it. They'd done that. And that's different. This is a this mRNA one has never been used on people before. So who knows whether it's going to work. I'm certainly hoping. I've got three daughters that have been double vaccinated and a wife. So I don't want to be, I'm hoping this thing works and it doesn't hurt people. I mean, I don't know, it doesn't work that well. But I've got a daughter that was double vaccinated and got it. Now she's got natural immunity, so she's good. The other two, we'll see what happens. But it's not, we're not hoping for disaster. We're hoping for the opposite. I wish these vaccines were more effective, and I wish this virus didn't exist. But they aren't more effective, and the virus does exist. So let's not destroy everything that we are about because of this type of a virus, because it's serious, but it's not so serious. It shut down businesses, schools, travel, and it's a tricky one because every government in the world is doing it. They're all doing the same thing, and it doesn't work anywhere.
Well put.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
Corey, I just got one last question for you. With all your clients, I'm just wondering their mindset. Are they fearing the possibility? I mean, obviously, with phase one and two, they're losing business. Are they fearing the possibility of a phase three and four because we've seen it in this county before?
They think it's inevitable. They think that this is just the beginning of basically a shutdown. But to be fair, no one knows. Because the way that this thing works is hard to predict. Like I said before at the top of the show here with you, Florida, that everybody was laughing at and criticizing, they're probably about one quarter of the number of cases that we get now, and their hospital beds are about 2% occupied by COVID, not 9 or 10%. And that's because probably they have more natural immunity down there than we do. And it's not like, anybody's a genius out there. I mean, the stuff runs through the population. You should provide good medical treatment to people that get it. They should be able to get into a hospital if necessary. We should have all the beds necessary to treat people because that's a lot cheaper than shutting down businesses and schools. Put up another 1,000 hospital beds. That's nothing compared to what it costs to shut down economically our society. They should have done that at the beginning, and that's what was recommended at the beginning. But so our clients are, most of them are thinking this is just the beginning of ultimately a shutdown, and that for some reason they feel that they're the scapegoats. The government has to go after somebody to show the population that they're doing something, because doing nothing it looks like you're incompetent. But what they're doing is worse. They're actually not helping. They're making things worse. What they should be doing is providing proper care and provide information to everybody and say, here is how this thing is going. Here are the transmission rates. This is what's taking place. And here are the vaccines that are available. That kind of stuff is all good. But blaming businesses that are not at fault and creating remedies that don't work, that doesn't seem to me to be the right thing for government to be doing.
Corey Hogan of Hogan Willett, thank you so much for joining me this hour. I'm sure we'll be talking very soon.
Joe, I want to say, you're a much more enjoyable host than who's that other guy that normally runs this show?
Hey, come on now. Don't say that.
Tell Tom I said hello, too.
Will do, Corey. Thank you so much. That is Corey Hogan of Hogan Willig laying out the plans, telling us what's going on and what is the next step. And you keep seeing this at these businesses with the notice, hey, we're not discriminating. We're not anti-mask. We're not anti-vax. We give you the right to choose. And it's really refreshing to see more and more of those signs pop up. And in the next hour, we're going to be talking with business owners. And, we had Ryan in West Seneca calling yesterday, and he really went through what the last 2 years have been like and what the threat of more mandates means for his business. And so I want to ask business owners, those associated with business, maybe you work at a place where you were laid off twice over the last 2 years because of these mandates. We want to talk with you, 803-0930. What are your concerns? You heard what Corey Hogan said. Do you echo those concerns? I'm sure many of you do. Is it refreshing to see Hogan Willig out there fighting the lawsuit? Is it refreshing to see the mayor of Williamsville, the supervisor in West Seneca, the supervisor in Marilla standing up and supporting their businesses and their residents? 803-0930, star 930. We're also going to tie in holiday parties to the next hour because I want to know, are you back to your regular holiday parties this year? So we're going to talk about both in the next hour and then in the 5 o'clock hour. Have you ever wanted to get a text from an ex that you went as far as to faking your own wedding? We're talking about that too when we come back here on WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.